Pasuk in Parshas Chayasar, Rashi quotes the Medrash that he made famous. But why does it say three times the word Shana, Me'al Shana, Esm Shana, Sheva Shana, to make a hekesh that she was Baskuf ke Baskaf Lachet, just like at the age of 20 she hadn't sinned, just like at the age of 100 she hadn't sinned, and Baskaf ke Bas Zayin, that she was beautiful at the age of 20, like at the age of 7. So some Rishonim think that the Girsa should be the Medrash Rabbah. Some Rishonim think the Girsa should be the reverse. A woman looks much better at the age of 20 than at the age of 7. And what do you mean, Abaschof is Belichet? Who says Abaschof is Belichet? So if you have the Girsa Fakert, it makes better sense. But the famous Girsa is the way Rashi quotes it. So what do you mean a Baschof doesn't have any sins? So the Mefarshim understand. The Gemara says in a few places in the Drashim like that, the Bezon Shalmaila doesn't punish until after Esr Shana. The personality begins to be formed about the age of 12, 13, and it's more or less completed by the age of 20. So the Bezon Shalmata punishes when the person is a bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, 12 or 13. That's when the personality is beginning to be completed. The Bezon Shalmaila is more lenient and more meikel. You don't punish with chorus, at least in the Shemaim, so they don't punish till the person is fully formed, till the age of 20. What does it mean? Baskov ke bazayin liofi. 7-year-old girl is a little baby. She doesn't look so, not so good looking. A 20-year-old is better looking. So they say that just like a bas zayin doesn't put on makeup, so if a girl is very good looking at the age of 20, she doesn't need any makeup. The Chacham Tzvi has a tshuva where he's not happy with this idea, even though this idea appears in so many sources in the Gemara and the Drashim, that the Bezon Shalmaila doesn't punish until a person does averus until the age of 20. Only averus is done after the age of 20. So he says, how can it be? The din is that one is chayv to bring a chatos if he violates an aver b'shogeg, which if he would have done it in Mezid, it would have been kares. So if he violates the aver b'shogeg, he's chayv to bring a chatos. Kosher is done a kares, so he also a chatos. See, if you're going to tell me that until the age of 20, the aver is that a person does, he's not punished with kares, but the Gemara said b'feirish. If a child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, the Gemara in Yerushalmi says, a child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of the day of Shabbos, how is that possible? Maybe Shtei Cyrus, the Gemara asks. If a child becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos and he's Mechal Shabbos after, in the afternoon of Shabbos, he's Chai V'chatos. So you see that there's a Chai V'chatos, even though he's not 20 years old. Right, but it's not Zdona Koris. So the Chacham Tzvi thinks that all of these Midrashim are not correct. Yeah, but it's so many sources in the Midrashim and the Gemaras also. But the Pashtas, you probably have to answer. Kosher's Dona Kores, Shigas HaChatos, does mean that I personally would have been Chayiv Kores if I would have done this Aver B'mezin. It means that this Aver in principle has Kores. If I wouldn't have done B'mezin, I would not have been Chayiv Kores because I'm not yet 20 years old. But if an adult over 20 would have done it, that's enough. Kosher Zdona Koris doesn't mean I would have been Chayv Koris, it means in principle. So maybe this explains another idea. There is a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos around Daf Ayin Aleph Ayin Beis, where the Gemara has a Machlekes of Yechon and Reish Lakish. What if somebody, you only chayv achatos if you did the aver b'shogeg? If you did it amazing, there's no chayv achatos. So what if the person was, he's a belav b'shogeg b'koris? He knows you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos, and he doesn't care as mechal Shabbos anyway. But he didn't realize that there's koris. If he would have realized that there's koris, he would have not messed around with the Easter koris. The lavim, he doesn't care. The lavim, he'll violate. But koris, that he doesn't want to mess around. Is that called the Shegig or is that called the Mason? So that's Machlekes Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan. We usually pass like Rabbi Yochanan except for three cases. That's, we spoke about that. Gemara Yivam is that Flach and Rav Amad Aleph. Rav says we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. So we pass like Rabbi Yochanan that he's at Balav, the Shogeg Bikaris is called the Shegig. And he's chayv to bring a Chatas. So then the Gemara has a machlokes Abai v'Rava. Once you assume Abai v'Rava lived way after Rabbi Yochanan, if you'll assume like Rabbi Yochanan, then he's a balab and shogeg because it's called shogeg and he's chai v'chato. So what would you say by Zarsha Ochal Truma b'shogeg? Zarsha Ochal Truma b'mezid is Misa b'dei Shamayim. Misa b'dei Shamayim, according to the Gemara, is less than Koris. The Gemara, the last daf in Moed Kaf, the Bavli, for Avdi Meluim, the first page of the Avdi Meluim, he thinks that the Yerushalmi disagrees. He thinks the Yerushalmi holds that Misa B'dei Shemayim is Mochav and Koris. But the Bavli says that Koris is Mochav and the Misa B'dei Shemayim. Koris, we assume the person in principle is supposed to die by the age of 50, and Misa B'dei Shemayim by the age of 60. So Misa B'dei Shemayim is less. Versus Esther Kasha, we see a lot of people violate Isuri Koris and they're not dying before the age of 50. But they says that's part of the Cheshbon. All other Cheshboners, maybe they gave stock and maybe they have other schusim, maybe they did other mitzvahs. So the din is at Azara, a non kohen who eats truma, the mezid is Misa B'dei Shamayim. If a non kohen Azar Shochal truma b'shogeg needs a kapara. So the Pasuk says in Chumash, if he ate truma b'shogeg, he has to give Kerem v'chaymish. So the Gemara says, Kerem v'chaymish is to Misa B'dei Shamayim, like a chatas is to Koris. Just like a dovish has done a Koris, it should go as a chatas in order to get a kapara. So too, here by Zar Shochal truma b'mezid, it would have been Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Kerem v'chaymish is the kapara for that Isa. So what if the Zar Shochal Truma B'Shoigeg was not exactly B'Shoigeg? It was B'mezid. He knows that he's not allowed to eat Truma, but he didn't realize that it's Misa B'dei Shamayim. If he would have realized Misa B'dei Shamayim, he wouldn't have eaten it. To violate Lavim, that doesn't mean anything. That he'll violate a lot. But he wouldn't violate Koris, and he wouldn't violate Misa B'dei Shamayim. So we assume that some Akleikas are by Barabah. We assume, like Rabbi, that the same Rabbi Yechanan's opinion, that he's a balab and shogeg b'koris is called shogeg, and yechai v'chato so too by the zar shochal truma b'mezid, he's a balab and shogeg b'lisa b'dei shamayim is also called shogeg, and is chayv to give the kerem v'chadish. He'll get a kapor, he'll chayv to give the kerem v'chadish. So that's why the Gemara makes such an equation. Kerem v'chadish is to misa b'dei shamayim, but like chatas is the chorus. So the Raibid wrote a He'oris, wrote Hasogis on the Balamar. The Raibid and the Balamar learned B'chavrusa together. So the Sefer Amor has Hasogis on the Rif, and the Raibid has Hasogis on the Balamar. And when they printed it, I don't think the Raibid gave a name to the Sefer. When they printed it, they called the Sefer Kosov Shom. Every paragraph begins with the words Kosov Shom. My dear friend, Rabbi Zrachi Alevi, wrote in his commentary, so either half the time he says he stole it from me, got it from me, iti, half the time he says that it's wrong. If whatever he didn't steal from him, he says he's wrong. So he always disagrees with the Balamar. So at the end of Chulin, this part was printed, at the end of Chulin, so there's a comment that the Raibid writes, a big chiddush, that even though mitat Torah, the obligation to be mafrish shumas and maisis on peris that grow in Eretz Yisrael only applies mitat Torah on dog and tirish v'yitzar. The Gemara says maisa yerek is only the rabbanon, and most of the rishon we assume shulchan aruch that other fruits also only the rabbanon, outside of zeisim anovim. Tirish is wine and grapes, and Yitzhar Hashem is ayis and zeisim, but all other fruits, apples and oranges and pears, trumas and maizes, only the rabban, only dog and tivish for Yitzhar. So the Raibid writes a chiddush on top of a chiddush. He writes, but if you mafrish trumas and maizes on other pears other than dog and tivish for Yitzhar, it's chal men atoira. That's one chiddush. Then he has chiddush number two. So if the farmer was mafrish truma, so a czar is not allowed to eat it. So what if the czar eats it? Would there be Misa B'dei Shamayim? Usually on Tevel there's Misa B'dei Shamayim, but here there's no Isa Tevel Men HaTorah. So here, if someone would eat it in the state of Tevel, the apples, the oranges, not dogging tirish v'yitzar, so there wouldn't be any visa v'deishamayim for eating teva. So the rabbi thinks, since the whole chiyuv to be mafresh is only with the rabbanon on the level of the raisa, there's no chiyuv to be mafresh. So if a farmer was mafresh, he volunteered to be mafresh truma. So if a zar would eat the truma, he thinks there wouldn't be misa b'deishamayim. Chiddush number two. Then he has chiddush number three. But if a zar would eat the truma b'shoigeg, he thinks he would be chayv keren v'chaymish. Chiddush on top of a chiddush on top of a chiddush. So the question is, how can that be? If the Ravid thinks that there's a zar who eats the truma that was only voluntary truma, you weren't mechuyev minatar, it's rishus. So if you mafresh it and the zar eats it, there's no bisa v'dei shamayim. So why is it that if he eats it b'shoigeg, he has to give kerem v'chaymish? Kerem v'chaymish is to misa v'dei shamayim, like chatas is to kares. If you would have violated, if you did an avera, where the punishment would have been misa v'dei shamayim, zar shachal truma b'shoigeg, the mezid is misa v'dei shamayim. So if you violated it b'shoigeg, then you need a kapara, you have to give kerem v'chaymish. But over here, if the zar would eat it, the rabbi thinks that there's no misa v'dei shamayim, because it's not tevel minatar, it's only tevel midirabban. So why is he chayev to give kerem v'chaymish? So you have to say, according to the rabbi, it doesn't mean if I personally would have been chayev misa v'dei shamayim and I did the aver b'shoigeg, if I would have eaten the truma b'mezer, it would have been misa v'dei shamayim. And now that I ate the b'shoigeg, I need a kapor for that. No, here he said there is no misa v'dei shamayim. You still have a chayev kerem v'chaymish. You have to say, if the Isser normally carries Misa B'dei Shemayim, that's the same answer that we give on the Chacham Tzvi's Kasha. Chacham Tzvi was bothered, the Gemara said, Beferish and Yevamis, that a cotton shehigdil in the middle of Shabbos, he's only 13 years old, he becomes Bar Mitzvah in the middle of Shabbos, and he's Machal Shabbos, B'sheigeg at the end of Shabbos, beginning of Shabbos, only Mitam Chinuch, only B'chui B'derabon, because he wasn't Bar Mitzvah yet. But the end of Shabbos, he already was Bar Mitzvah, so to be Machal Shabbos, B'sheigeg, the Gemara says it'll be chai b'chata. So the Chacham Tzvi asks, how can it be until the age of 20? There's no kares, so it's not zdona kares. So that's why the Chacham Tzvi rejected this whole idea. But it says in all the midrashim, it says in the Gemara many places. You can't throw out. No one ever disagreed with that. You have to say it doesn't mean I would have been chai of kares. If in principle this iser carries kares, even though in my particular case I'm not yet 20 years old, so I wouldn't have been chayv kares. But you still have a chayv to bring a chatas. So the same by the over here. You don't need that if I personally would have eaten this truma, the mezid, I would have been chayv misa b'dei shamayim. I wouldn't be chayv over here. It's on apples and oranges. There's no, the rabbi thinks that there's no misa b'dei shamayim, because it's a voluntary hafrosha. But nonetheless, if you eat, the rabbi thinks that if you ate that truma b'shoigeg, that you chayv kerem v'chaymish. Chacham Tzvi has a lot of chidush. What to talk about?
But that achila of tevel midirabonim doesn't have misa b'dei shamayim.
Correct.
So how does that answer the kasha?
The iser, the tevel has no. It's only tevel midirabonim. Min hatorah it's mutar to eat it. But once you mafresh the truma, then the truma is chal min hatorah. That was the first chiddush the rabbi has. If you mafresh truma on other minim, other than dogen tivish v'yitzah, the hafrosh is chal min hatorah. Then he said the second chiddush is that those in no kiddushin, Rashi and Tosafot have a kasha and dav gimel amud aleph, the difficulty with the gemara. If you know this rabbi, that far emphasis the whole kasha. Rashi and Tosafot ask over there, the gemara has a pasuk telling you a din d'oraisa based on a pasuk about how do you determine the apples, which year do they belong? It belongs to the second year, Yemafish Maiser Sheni, or to the third year, Yemafish Maiser Rani, how do you determine? How can you have a pasuk if the whole thing is only with the Rabbanan? So the rabbi says, the whole chiv is only with the Rabbanan, but if you mafish it, it's chal min hatorah. So if it's the second year, you have to be Mafish Maiser Sheni, third year, you have to Mafish Maiser Rani. So you need a pasuk to tell you the din. Rashi and Tosafot don't think like that, don't agree with the rabbi. They think even if you mafish, it's not chal min hatorah. According to this rabbi, the old kasha is off. The rabbi always has something original. The rabbi always has something surprising. That's why I thought that commentary on the Sifrei that they attribute to the rabbi is just boring. It never says anything. That's clearly not written by the rabbi. The rabbi doesn't write the stam dvar b'tehillim. The rabbi, at every line, is a chiddush. The rabbi is kula chiddush.
Rabbi, according to the Chacham Tzvi, if one gave a carbon ashen instead of a carbon chatas, would one still be mechayev a carbon chatas?
If a person did what?
Gave a carbon ashen instead of a carbon chatas, would he still be mechayev a carbon chatas?
Yeah, you're not Yotzei. If you bring an Oshem instead of a Chatas, you're not Yotzei. They're two different Karbonis, different Zrikas, everything is different. Lamayla, Lamata Michutasik, everything is different. Anyway, the theme at the beginning of the Parsha is that you have to have Kevei Yisrael. A Jew has to be buried in a separate cemetery. The Jewish people live differently and they die differently and they're buried differently. Ein Koven Tzadik Yitzel Rosh HaVein Koivin Nochri Yitzel Yisrael. You have to bury them separately. The American army, all the soldiers who were killed in battle are buried in a separate cemetery. So the Jewish soldiers are not allowed to be buried there. Jewish soldiers are not allowed to be buried together with Nochri. Even though it's a patriotic idea to have all the soldiers who gave up their lives for the country buried together, but it's against the din. Rabbi Soloveitchik told us that he had to write a letter explaining this to the government, why the Jewish soldiers are not allowed to be buried. There are many Jewish soldiers who were after the Second World War who were buried in Europe, in the Goyish cemeteries, and they have tzlamim on their graves also. So there's a group of people who are putting up a lot of money to try to remove all the tzlamim and to remove their bodies, to bury them. And the Kevei Yisrael, Rav Soloveitchik, said his grandfather, Rav Chaim, was of the opinion that this din is so important. A kohen is not allowed to be metamei l'meis unless it's a meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah means the dominals prepared to bury the meis. But what happens if there's a Jewish body buried in a goyish cemetery? And a kohen knows about it. There's no one else around to remove the Jewish body. So his grandfather, Rav Chaim, was of the opinion that that has the status of a meis mitzvah. It's such a bizarre for a Jew to be buried in a goyish cemetery. A kohen is permitted and obligated to be metamei l'meis in order to get the meis out of the goyish cemetery. Rav Soloveitchik said many other contemporaries of Rav Chaim did not agree with him, but that was Rav Chaim's opinion. He said his grandfather Rav Chaim said a loshen, there are long bridges and there are short bridges. I remember when we were once touring in Poland, so we went across a little bridge. It was nothing by nothing. So the tour guide had a shtick, so she said, this is known as the longest bridge in the world. Anybody know why? So no one knew why. So she explained, because somehow they have the dateline cut through the middle. So on one side of the bridge it's Tuesday, and the other side of the bridge it's Wednesday. So that's considered the longest bridge in the world, because you leave on Tuesday, and then you get to the other end of the bridge on Wednesday. But it's mamish a 5-minute walk. It's a nothing with nothing. That was a shtick. That was a joke. So Rav Chaim said there are long bridges, there are short bridges. It's impossible to build a bridge that should bridge the gap between a Jewish person and a non-Jewish person. It's such a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. Malach teaches every baby Kol HaTorah Kula. Every Jewish baby teaches Kol HaTorah Kula, whatever that means, but it means something. There's such a thing as a Kedushas Yisrael. The Gemara in Megillah speaks about Tashmishi Mitzvah and Tashmishi Kedusha, different items that you can buy in a Judaic store. So you can buy a talis, you can buy a shofar, you can buy a lulav and an esrog, you can buy tefillin and mezuzah. So the Gemara says that tefillin and mezuzah, say the Torah tefillin and mezuzah, Tashmishi Kedusha. And even after it becomes puzzle and you can't fix it, you're not allowed to throw it out in the garbage. Has a status of Kedusha, and you have to be nozim. You have to bury it with respect. You have to put it in Shemus and bury it properly. But if you have the Esrig after Sukkot is over, during Sukkot it's hooked to the Mitzvah side. That we assume that's a Din Deraisa, hooked to the Mitzvah side by the Sukkah, hooked to the Mitzvah side by the Esrig, and by the Hadassim you're not allowed to smell. So we assume that's a Din Deraisa. But after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, then it's no longer hooked to the Mitzvah side. And if you're not going to save, most people don't save the Esrog from one year to the other. In Europe, sometimes they had no choice. Where Moshe Feinstein lived under the communists, they had no choice. So they had to save the Esrog from one year to the other. So to preserve the Esrog, it shouldn't shrivel up and get ruined. They would put it in a jar with honey. So the honey would prevent it from, and then next year they had to wipe off all the honey. Then they had to put it in a jar again with honey. to preserve it for the next year. But most people throw out the Esrog after Sukkah. There's no longer hook to the mitzvahs. Let's say I have an old talis and I buy myself a new talis. So what do I do with the old talis? I want to donate it to the shul. So the gabbai doesn't want it. It's old and it's gray and it's yellow and it doesn't look nice. I want to give it to a poor man who lives in the neighborhood. He doesn't want it either. Want to give me a talis? Give me a new talis. He doesn't want it. No one wants to use the old talis. So the old talis says, lachas ma mitzvasan. No one wants to wear it anymore. I bought a new one. Nobody else wants it. Lachas ma mitzvasan. So the din is, you can throw it in the garbage. Tashmisha mitzvah nizrokim. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rashba, who quotes a Ravid, that you shouldn't throw the old talis and the garbage together with the dirty diapers or together with the chicken bones or the fish bones. You should put it in a separate bag and then throw it out into the garbage. It shouldn't be mevazit, but you don't have to put it in shemus. So there's a difference between meis yisrael and meis nochri. The mitzvah kvura is only on meis yisrael. Meis yakim, there's no mitzvah kvura. The Ramban on Chumash points out. It says in the Chumash, the mitzvah kvura in Chumash only says by haruge bezin. Kiyad yish chet mishpat mabas v'humas v'salis ha'as ha'leitz kovetik v'ena v'yamahu. Is there a mitzvah kvura by a normal person who dies at an old age? He wasn't put to death by the bezin. So the Tanoim all say there is a mitzvah kvura. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin around the Achman Baba, so Gemara quotes two brises, one after the other, are practically word for word identical. So the Lechem Mishnah, there are asked, why did the Gemara quote two brises exactly word for word? There's one word's difference. One brise says, Remez likvura menatar mina. Remez usually, not always, Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Remez usually means that it's only an asmachta, it's only a dimmed rabban. The other brise writes, Binayin likvura menatar. And the both prices say the same as learned that from the phrase kavatik berenu, the kefal loshen. Kavatik berenu is marbe, even if he's not harugi bezin, you still have to bury him. So that's really a machlekes hatanaim, where they say dibatur kadushay meri adam, lo dibatur kadushay meri adam. If you all dibatur kadushay meri adam, then if you have the shonas kfulim, mos yumas hanik tanik, nosen titein, kavatik berenu, you don't darshan anything. But we hold, we hold like Rabbi Kiva. Lo debetar kodesham yod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu. You assume he didn't dictate it in Loshem Eliyodim that people who speak repeat themselves. They'll say the phrases extra, the missing words extra. We don't assume like that. We assume lo debetar kodesham yod. Whenever you have the Shonas Kvulim, you darshan something from it. So that's what we assume, that this is a Drosha Gemura Deraisa. There's a problematic Rambam on the sugi of Kvura. So the Rambam writes not like the Gemara. So the Lech Mishnah says the Gemara is working on the assumption that Kvura B'Shar Meisim is only Midir Rabbanon. The Rambam writes, no, Kvura B'Shar Meisim is Deraisa, the word not Haruge Bezin, and therefore the holy bar that the Gemara had is irrelevant. All the suffix was, if you should assume Kvura B'Shar Meisim is only Midir Rabbanon, what if the person says, I don't want to be buried? But the Rambam writes, it's irrelevant what he says. It's a din deraisa, so it doesn't matter what he says. So that's what the Lech Mishnah writes. That's what we assume. We assume Kfura B'Sham Meisim is a din deraisa. But by Meisei Yakum, there's no Chiv Kfura. The Ramban HaChumash has, there's a pasuk in Sefer Yoshua that says when they were, Yoshua Benum was waging war, it took 7 years to conquer all the Lamed Aleph Malachim, all of Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is centrally located. It's the link between Europe, Asia, and Africa. So whoever controls Eretz Yisrael has an opportunity to control big areas over there. That's why the Nazis wanted very much. They wanted to conquer the whole world. So when they were fighting against the other countries, they wanted to control Eretz Yisrael and thereby control all the three continents. That's when they started to lose the war, the Second World War. They started to lose the war when they were surrounding Eretz Yisrael. So the Pasuk says in Sefer Yeshua, when they killed the Lamed Aleph Malachim, they hung them up, and then they took down the bodies before Shkia to fulfill the Pasuk in Chumash and Teres Moshe that says, Kovetik Barana Bayamahu. So the Ramban asks, how can you say that there's no Chiyav Kvura Meisei Akum? The Lamed Aleph Malachim are not Jewish. So he says, in Chutz Laretz, there's no chiyuv to bury Meisei Yakum, but in Eretz Yisrael, the pasuk says, "Kavtik b'ra meyuhon kikilsa kim tolu v'lo sitam esad moscha." That's a new din. Well, I said, time is Moshe. You're not allowed to leave Meisei Akum in Eretz Yisrael because well, I said, time is Moshe. You have to in Eretz Yisrael, you have to bury all the Meisim before Shkia if you can. Kavadik Brenem Yamahu, even Meisei Akum. That's a problem in all the medical schools. They all have cadavers in order to learn biology, in order to learn the different organs of the human body. So shouldn't be permissible, and Eretz Yisrael shouldn't be allowed to do that because of that Ramban, that Pasuk Chumash. Lo setamis ha-moscha. But otherwise, if it's in Chutzlo, there's no chiyuv kvura meisei akum. Why is there a difference between meisei so and meisei akum? So one could suggest along these lines that Chaim Balozhin explains in Nefesh HaChaim, how did the Tanoim know to divide between Tashmishi Mitzvah and Tashmishi Kedusha? How do they know which are Tashmishi Mitzvah, which are Tashmishi Kedusha? So he says the source of all Kedusha is the Tanakh. The Tanakh represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whenever you have Psukim written, say the Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, that has Kedusha. So we assume that the Tefillin shall yad have more kedusha than mezuzah, because mezuzah only has two parshiyos, Shema v'Yom Shemayim. Then tefillin has an additional two, Kadesh v'Yokim Yachad. Tefillin shal rosh, the Gemara has slightly higher level of kedusha than tefillin shal yad, because you have the shin. We have two shins. The Gemara talks about one shin. We have the shin, one letter more. If you learn one letter more than the other person, you learn more Torah. One letter is also afilo oisachas is also a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So Tefillin Shal Rosh have slightly more level, higher level of Kedusha than Tefillin Shal Yad. Sefer Torah has the Dalet Parshas plus more, so the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha. The Rambam in the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah is mashma that let's say they'll discover the Luchas, the Aseres Adibur, the original author's copy, the copy that the Ribbono Shel Olam engraved in person. So which has more Kedusha? A Sefer Torah that was written by a Basav Adom, Mishnas Tovshin and Pei Beis, or the Luchas that was engraved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam sounds like he says Beferit, the Sefer Torah has more Kedusha. The Luchas are more precious, they're more valuable, because it's the author's copy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved it himself, and the Sefer Torah was written by a human being. But which has more Kedusha, strictly speaking, the Rambam says that the Sefer Torah has Aseres Adibros plus more. Whatever has more Psukim has more Kedusha. Masha'in again, Atalus, or Shofar, or the Dalaminim, you don't have any Psukim, so there's no Kedusha. So Rav Soloveitchik once gave a whole Yortzeit Drasha on this topic. Every year he had Yortzeit for his father and Gimel Shvat, so he used to give a major shiur for 4 hours, 2 hours Halacha and 2 hours Agoda, Hashkofa, that you can derive from the Halacha that he developed before. And it used to be attended by many, many people. People would fly in from out of town. People would come in to hear the Yortzeit Rosh. It was a very popular thing for quite a few years. So on one occasion, he spoke about this, the difference between Tashmishi Mitzvah and Tashmishi Kedusha. So he said, we assume that the Jewish person has Kedusha. Why? Where are the Psukim? So he said, the Malach teaches all the babies, Kol HaTorah Kula. So every Jewish soul has Dibrei Torah. That's the source of the Kedusha. We say Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. Why? There are Psukim written on the trees. Why is there Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael? They said the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the first time around by the Kibbutz, by the Kedusha Rishon, the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, was the Kibbush. So he tossed out the question to the audience. They said, who did the Kibbush? Who did? So everybody said, the Jewish army that was led by Yishuv Ben Nun. He said, no. Says in Tanakh, Aron Abris, no sale of them. Aron Abris was carried before, and it knocked down all the enemies. So the Aron Abris had the Luchas, had the Shevei Luchas in it. So the Kibush of Eretz, the Mikadosh was the Psukim, the Torah. Then he said, Kedusha is based on Migdosh. What, the Psukim written on the walls? So he said, no, you have the Aron with the Luchas and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's why it's possible to have Kedusha. The Bai Sheni, there was no, the Aron with the Luchas was not there. So where was the Aron with the Luchas? So the Gemara in Yuma, I think on Daf Nun Dalet also, has three different opinions in the Tanoim. Where were the Luchas the whole Bai Sheni period? So it's a historical machlokes. So the Rambam takes a stand on the historical machlokes in the Mishnah Torah. So they said the Mishnah Torah is supposed to be halachas. What does he take a stand on a machlokes in history? So he said apparently the Rambam thinks like that opinion that the luchas were there in the base because at the end of the Bais Rishon period, Yoshio HaMelech was going as the luchas. That says in Dibra Yom. Yoshio HaMelech was going as the luchas. It's a little unclear. It's a lot unclear. Why was he going as the luchas? He wasn't afraid that the enemy was going to come and capture the luchas. The pasuk says something else in Dibra Yom. So the Netziv talks about that. What does the pasuk Dibra Yom mean? What motivated Yoshio to be going as the luchas? So it says in Dibra Yom, he took the luchas from the Kodesh HaKodoshim and he put it in a special chamber in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he followed the Megillah B'Ksav that the Nabi gave to David HaMelech. David HaMelech gave it to his son Shlomo HaMelech, and he had to follow HaKol B'Ksav B'Yad HaShem Alay Haskol. It's also a pasuk in Dibra Yom. He had to follow all the blueprint that was given to him by the Nabi. So part of the blueprint was that in the basement there has to be a chamber to put the luchas when it'll be necessary to do so. So that's where Shlomo HaMelech, that's where Yoshio HaMelech put the luchas in the basement. So where were the luchas? The old kufas by Sheni. So the Rambam takes a stand on the machlekes, the historical machlekes. He says the luchas were in the chamber in the basement, the old kufas by Sheni. So apparently the Rambam understood it's a historical machlekes, but a little bit is a halachic machlekes. He's taking a stand. The halachic issue is, can it have the status of a Beis HaMikdash if there are no luchas there? If you have luchas either upstairs in the Kodesh Kadoshim or downstairs in that special chamber in the basement, then you can have a din of a Beis HaMikdash with Kedusha because you have the ksav of the luchas. But if there are no luchas in the basement, it doesn't seem from the Rambam that he thought it does not have a din of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. Why is there a Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses? So that's also a big machlekes. The Ran on the Rif in Megillah, the beginning of Perek B'nei Ho'ir, has a long arichas that's a big machloikas between the Ramban and the Ran. So the Ramban says that the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is B'toras Tashmishei Mitzvah. Tashmishei Mitzvah have Kedusha B'zman Mitzvahsam. So when you have a talis that you plan to wear tomorrow, the day after, so it calls man that it's man mitzvahsoy, it has a kedusha for that man, like huktzen the mitzvah. The original pasuk huktzen the mitzvah is by the sukkah, and then we derive the dalet minim from the sukkah, and we derive it's a mamatzina. You learn that from sukkah to all tashmish and mitzvah. There is man mitzvah some, they have a kedusha. So the Ramban thinks that the Beis HaKnesses, you can't say it enables us to daven. You can daven at home, but it enables us to daven better. It improves our davening. If you have a makam yuchad l'tfilah, then the davening stands a better chance of being accepted. So the Ramban's opinion is that the Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses is the raisa, but Torah's tashmishei mitzvah. And the Ramban writes, if all the Jews move out of their neighborhood, they all, Jews, the Bronx was full of shuls all over the place, and everybody, all the Jews moved away. So all those shuls, so the Ramban thinks on the level of the Raisa, the Kedusha disappeared into thin air. It's like the Esrog after Sukkot is over. No one's going to go daven anymore in the shul. Some of these shuls, the Balabatim drove back on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur to continue to daven in the conservative and the reform temples. So it was still meyuchad for tefillah. But most of them, the Balabatim moved and they're not going to come back. So it's a tashmish and mitzvah, lachas ba mitzvah, so in our Torah the Kedusha goes off. But it's only with the Rabbanon, that the Gemara has a Megillah, or the Dinah may have to sell the shul and transfer the Kedusha from the shul to the money, and then Malam HaKadosh will Omar Reden use the money for something higher level of Kedusha than a shul. He said that part is only with the Rabbanon, but on the level of the Raisa, once the people stop davening in the shul, no longer has the status of tashmish and mitzvah. That's interesting. The Ramban holds that that's a tashmish mitzvah. Usually we think tashmish mitzvah is the sukkah. The sukkah is the chefetz shel mitzvah. Without a sukkah, you can't be mekayem the mitzvah. The esrog, the hadasim, the talis, the tzitzit, the talis, that's a tashmish mitzvah. But the shul, because it enables me to daven better, That's called a tashmisha mitzvah. Very questionable. Very questionable. Let's say the Chevra Kadisha have a room, and they have kelim that they pour water on the mace, and they have beds where they put the mace, and they wash the body and they clean the body. So now it's already many years later in different communities. Half the people in the community are intermarried, so they use all of these things to give a tahara to clean the goyish spouses also, the non-Jewish spouses. Now everybody is buried together. So is there taka din? Is there a din that all those kelim, to use those kelim to do the tahara, but to clean, that's not like the sukkah. The sukkah is the chefetz shel mitzvah, esrog. The talis, the shofar, that's the chefetz shel mitzvah. Here it's not the chefetz shel mitzvah. You have to clean the mace. You have to show kavod hames. You clean the mace. So that's the Ramah in the end of Yeridaya quotes the Maharil that it's not hooked to the mitzvah at all, even though that's how you're doing the mitzvah. So it sounds like he doesn't accept this Ramban at all. This Ramban says that the shul has the status of a tashmishe mitzvah because it enables you to daven better, helps you daven better. It's not a chefetz shel mitzvah. Siddur is also not the chefetz. You can daven without a siddur also. If you don't know how to daven by heart, then you need a siddur. But the siddur is not like a sukkah, it's not like an esrog, it's not the chefetz shel mitzvah. Anyway, so the Ran quotes this Ramban, and Ramban is in a few places. He has a Masechah Shabbos and a Masechah Megillah. The Ran and Megillah, Perek B'nehu, he quotes it. And he disagrees, and he thinks, first of all, he thinks that we refer to the Novi Yecheskel refers to the shuls as Mikdash Me'at. The Novi says, B'nevuah, the Beis HaMikdash soon going to be destroyed, the Jewish people will be sent to Golus, but they'll have a Mikdash Me'at, Ba'ei Elohem L'Mikdash Me'at. So the Gemara in the end of Megillah says, that's a reference to the Bati Knesis, the Bati Midrash and Shebe Bobo. All the shuls and all the yeshivas all over the world are referred to as Mikdash Me'at. Is that a real, that's what the real pshat is, or that's an asmachta? So the Ran thinks that that's only an asmachta. In our Torah, it's not Mikdash Me'at. And the whole Kedush is Beis HaKnesses, he thinks it's only with the Rabbanan. But it's a din with the Rabbanan, pattern after Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, and that Yortzai Shia, that from the Rambam in Hilchas Tfiluk, the Rambam quotes all the dinim of Kedush is Beis HaKnesses. The Rambam sounds like he says that a Beis HaKnesses only has a Kedusha, it's Beis HaKnesses, if there's a Sefer Torah there. But if you don't have a Sefer Torah, some people have office space in Manhattan, and they have one room in their office that's designated for davening. So they'll daven Mincha Ma'ariv there. Unless it's Asorah B'Tavis, and you have to learn Kriyas HaTorah, so they don't have a Sefer Torah. So the question is, a room that was designated to daven, does it have the status of a Kedusha Beis HaKnesses? According to the Ramban, that's what the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is all about. It's a thing, a room, a tangible thing that enables you to daven better. But according to the Rambam goes like the Ran, that it's a Mikdash Me'at. The Rambam is mashma that the Mikdash Me'at is a din deraisa. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out some Achrayim have this. Stei Chemet quotes this, that the Rambam, you have to read every word in all the Rambams. The Rambam has Sefer Mitzvahs written in Arabic, and then at the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, he has the Minyan HaMitzvahs Biktzara. He reviews, instead of giving a whole paragraph for each mitzvah, he gives one line, two lines for each mitzvah. So on the Pasuk, it says in Chumash Dvarim, that when we come to Eretz Yisrael, the Avodah Zarah is all over the place. It says, Asherem tisrufumesh, psilarem tigaden. Then it says, V'ibaratim ishmam en amak ma'ul, osasin kein Hashem alakechem. You're not allowed to do to the Beis HaMikdash what we're doing to the Avodah Zarah. So that's note tzeven min ha-mizbeach. If someone's going to break a stone off of the mizbeach, or break the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, derech hashchosa, that's a violation of osasin kein Hashem alakechem. So the Rambam, in the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzara, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he doesn't write it. In the Mishnah Torah, he doesn't write it. Pirush HaMishnayos, he doesn't write it. In the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzara, nobody ever looks at. So he writes over there, Noi Teitzevim in HaMizbeach, O Mi Beis HaMedesh, O Mi Beis HaKnesses. That's part of the Din Deraisa. So So the Rambam seems to hold, number one, that Kedusha is based on Knesset is not because it's Tashmish and Mitzvah for davening, not like the Rambam, because it's Migdash Miyat. And number two, he thinks that it's a Din Daraisa, he thinks that you like it. Noite Tzevim, the Beis HaKnesses, on the Beis HaMedrash, is a Din Daraisa. So from the Rambam is Mashma, that just like in the Beis HaMigdash, he sounds like you have to have Luchas there. If you don't have the Luchas, it doesn't have Kedusha's Beis HaMigdash. So to a Beis HaKnesses, you have to have a Sefer Torah. If you don't have a Sefer Torah there, so it's maybe it'll be a Tashmish and Mitzvah, but it won't be a Tashmish and Kedusha. It won't have Kedusha. Anyway, so it could be that this is the reason why there's only a Din of Kfura by Mesei. So the Mesei Akum, the Chutzlur, there's no Chi of Kfura. The Yisrael has Kedushas Yisrael, because the Malach teaches Kolot Torah Kula. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, like Rav Chaim Elojen says, the source of all the Yoni Kedusha is Psukim from Tanakh. So if you have the Malach teaches the baby Kolot Torah Kula, so every Jewish child, a boy or a girl, every Jewish child has a Kedushas Yisrael. And even though the Malach slaps the baby, he makes him forget all the Torah, but it cannot mean that he forgets everything. If it means that he forgets everything, so why did the Malach in the first place engage in an act of futility to teach him if he plans to make him forget everything in the end? Must be that something does remain behind. So that something that remains behind, that's the source of the Kedushas Yisrael. So Jewish people are like Tashmishi Kedusha, so even after Zman HaMitzvah, even after they can't function anymore, it has to be Nignozim, you have to bury it with respect. But the Mesei Akum, there is a Din of Kavod Abrias, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all people but Tzelem Elokim. They have to show Kavod Abrias because every human being has Tzelem Elokim. That's the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah. Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem, Chaviv Nisar Shenivri B'Anim Lamakayim. Rabbi Yehuda Levi in the Kuzari seems to assume the Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem goes on Adam Arishim. Doesn't go on every human being. And he says that this Tzelem Elokim, the Inyan Eloki, that Adam Rishon had was only transmitted to one of his children, and each one only transmitted it to one of his children, like the pasuk goes in the beginning of Dirayom, Adam Sheisanish Kena Mahalala Yared Chanoch, and so on. Each one had Vayolad Banav Banav had a lot of children, and they only transmitted the Inyan Alaki, the Tzelem Alakim, to one of their children. Then Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, and Yaakov was the Gemara calls Yaakov was Mitosu Shleim. All of his children were Jewish. And the Inyan Aleki went to all of the children. So Rav Yehuda Levi and the Kuzari seems to assume that the Tzelem Elokim is only on the Jewish people. On the Yom HaSalem, there's no Tzelem Elokim. But we usually assume not like that. We usually assume Pash Peshat Mishnah, not like that. Chavadim goes on the Nochem also, they have Tzelem Elokim. So Kozman, that they're alive, their body is a Tashmishei Mitzvah. They have to observe the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Anach. After they die, it's a Tashmish and Mitzvah, Lachazman Mitzvahsim, they die. They're dead. So they can't do any more Mitzvah. So the whole Din of Kavod Abis is only Kavod Achayim. There's no Din of Kavod Amesim by Mesei Akam. We assume Yikra de Mesei Akam Amuta Bahanor also. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes in Chuvas Rashbo that you shouldn't get Hanor from Mesei Akam, but the Bir Agro explains that it's against all the Gemara. So the Gemara seem to fair, and Mesei Akam Amuta Bahanor. So Shlom Zalman Reuerbach, and they quote out that they say it's a chumrah that the Mishnah came up with that you shouldn't get hanof from Mesei Akum. But if it's a makom mitzvah, then we're makom. Let's say to go to medical school in order to learn about biology, in order to be able to function as a doctor. So we all use all the people who go to medical school use a cadaver, a non-Jewish body. So they're getting hanor from the Mesei. Shlom Zalman says that's a shtikal makom mitzvah. You want to become a doctor to save people's lives. So but makom mitzvah, you don't observe that chumah. So Mesei Akum, strictly speaking, the chutz lords, where there's no inyan of loisat damis ad moscho, so Mesei Akum, there's no chi of kvura. Because it's like tashmishi mitzvah, lachas ma mitzvason. So you don't have to show when you come by Mesei. So that's the din, lo yitama. Lo Yitama says a Kohen is not allowed to be Mitama the Mesim, unless it's one of the seven relatives. So it says, Lachos Apsula Shalohai Salish, Lo Yitama. And there's a Machlekes, the Gemara has in the beginning of Saita, Dav Gimel, Machlekes Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva said, Lo Yitama is a Chayva. Yimachuyev to be Mechabed the Mes by being Mitame. Yimachuyev, that's a din of Kavod Abrias. That even kavod ha'meisim. By Jewish people, even kavod ha'meisim is also a din. Kavod ha'chayim is even by nochrim is a din of kavod ha'bris while the person is alive. After he dies, it's a tashmish and mitzvah. Lachas ma mitzvasan, you're not mechuyev. Yeah, but that's the theme of the beginning of the Seder. You have to have Kevi Yisrael and Zedin. There's a Chi of Kvura. We assume that the Din of Kvura is their Isa. Not only by Harugi Bezin, even by all Mason. And then it says that Avram Avinu is the Libera Hespid. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin has a discussion. Can you derive from the Psukim that there's an obligation to deliver a Hespid, Yimuchiv, to deliver a Hespid out of Kavod HaMeis? So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Maybe the Nochiyev. But it depends, whatever the Minig HaMokam is. There is a din of Kavod HaMeisim by Jewish basin. There is a din of Kavod HaBrias, and the Kavod HaBrias applied by Jewish people, even Lach HaMisa, like Tashmish Kedusha, Lach HaZma Mitzvasam. So what's called Kavod? Whatever the Minig is. So let's say the Chevi Kadisha, they always do a Tahara. What do they do with Tahara? So years ago, they wash off the hair, wash off the shampoo. Years ago, they used to rub in, used to crack open raw eggs and rub the raw eggs into the hair. Today, nobody does it anymore. So whatever is the minig hamokam that you do that, so you mechuyev to do that, mishum kavod ha'meis. That's the pasuk lo yitama. There's a din of kavod ha'brias, even lach ha'misa by Jewish mason. So but that depends. But that, so it could be that the minig hamokam in the days of Avram Avinu in Kiryat Arba was that they delivered a hesped. So Avram Avinu was mechuyev to deliver a hesped. If the minig hamokam is you don't deliver a hesped, not mechuyev to. Shulchan Aruch says that we assume that it is proper to deliver hesped even for women. Sarah was a woman. Even for women, our practice is that when we get married, we do kiddushei kesef, we do shavah kesef. We give it. Ramah quotes a Zohar, Tikkuni Zohar, that you mekadosh with the ring, that Shavu Kesef. Shavu Kesef is Dinu Ki Kesef. Why have we chosen to do Kiddushei Kesef? There are three ways. We should nitnas b'kesef, b'shtara, b'bia. Why did we develop a minig on the Kesef? So the Ramam writes, the Ramam understood in the Gemara like that, that Kiddushei Shtar and Kiddushei Bia is Torah Shebechzav, and Kiddushei Kesef is Torah Shebalpeh, Kicha, Kicha, Mistei Ephraim. So we wanted, and the Karaites, all the different Karaim, never had Kiddushei Kesef. They have the Karaim from Europe, Karaim from Asia, Karaim from Africa. Each group had their own shtick. But one thing they all had in common, all the Karaim, none of them had such a thing as Kiddushei Kesef. So the Rambam sounds like Klandauke called Israel, the Kaddish B'Kesef. He writes in the Mishnah Torah. Is he writing for Jews? What do you mean? Klandauke called Israel? Of course the Jews. Means the rabbinic Jews as opposed to the Karaites. The Karaites didn't follow the traditions of the Chachamim. So the meaning by the traditional Jews, by the Orthodox rabbinic Jews, is we want to demonstrate that we do subscribe to the Torah Shebal Peh. So we're dafka mikadosh b'kesef. So the Gemara learns that from the kicha kicha m'stei Ephraim. The question is this really a gzeirah shavah? The Ritva in the beginning of Kiddushin quotes a suggestion, maybe it's not a gzeirah shavah, maybe it's the gila milsa b'yama, that the word kicha has a connotation, maybe it's like a binyan am, that whenever the word kicha applies in Tanakh, it means to buy something b'kesef. Rabbi Simpson Raphael Hirsch has an essay in his book Chorev, collection of essays. Har Sinai is called Har Chorev in Tanakh, Chumash. So he quotes that the maskilim would make fun of the rabbis in the Gemara that they learned that exereshavik kicha kicha mistei Ephraim, that just like a person buys a farm, so too a man buys a wife. So they make fun of the rabbis. That's the Jewish perception that you buy yourself a wife. So in Choshe Mishpat there's a machlekes, I think it's in a Kuf Tzadik. There's a din that karkas niknas bekesef. So there's a machlekes, the taz and the sma. What's the nature of kinya kesef when you buy kark? Is it kesef piroin? You're paying the value of the field, or is it kesef kinyan? Symbolic act by paying kesef. So the taz over there proves that it's kesef kinyan. how can you learn out kicha mistay efron? You can be mekadosh an isha bekesef. What, you give the girl a ring that costs $300? The girl is worth $300. Either she's priceless or she's worthless, but she's not worth $300. So he says, from the fact that the Chachamim derive kicha kicha mistay efron, that sheds light on stay efron, that when you buy karka bekesef, it's not kesef demei hamekech, it's not kesef piron. Kesef kinyan, it's a symbolic act. You give kesef and you acquire ownership. So Rabbi Hirsch writes, why did the rabbis choose Davke to learn out kicha kicha Davke from stay efron over here? So he says, to demonstrate how respectful Avraham Avinu was of his wife, that not only during her lifetime did he respect her. The Gemara says, "I was ishtik gufay, mechabda yosem yigufay." Not only did he show respect for his wife while they were married, even after she died, and the Gemara says, "The balas chay bekvuras ishtay," but he's not mechuyev to spend that much money. He spent a fortune of money, abameh shekel kesef aver la socher, because he respected his wife so much, he was prepared to spend a fortune of money for the kvura even after she died. And the Chazal wanted to impress upon us that when we get married, we should be respectful of our wives. The Gemara in Bava Metzia quotes Rava. Rava says, Rava told his Talmidim, Akiru nishaychu ke'echet ditisasru. You better show respect to your wives, and that's as gula for Ashiris. And he quotes the Pasuk, Rava quotes the Pasuk in Chumash, that says that when I think, and Paramelech Mitzrayim took... either Paramelech and Shraim, Avi Melech, Melech Giror, I forget already which one. He took Sarah, and then he was punished, Min HaShemayim, and then he stopped, he gave it back. So it says, Uli Avram Heitiv Ba'avura, because Avram Avinu, he took Avram's wife, so he gave him a lot of matonas. So Rabbi says, you see, from that pasuk, Avram Heitiv Ba'avura, that a skula for Ashiris is if you treat your wife nicely.
Rich.
Right after this was a big nisayon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. He don't kum hasalat baras l'ach l'arach b'kilchoy tenena. That was a long time before. And then when it comes time to bury Sarah, he has to pay money to buy the Maros HaMachpelah. So this was purchasing the Maros HaMachpelah as one of the Asar and the Siyonis, Shinisnasa Avraham Avinu. He did it in a happy mood after Sarah passed away. So Avraham Avinu has to find the Shidduch for Yitzchak. So he sends Eliezer Eved Avraham back to his country. Go back to where my family came from. But they were all over there with the Zohar over there. Why does he want a shidduch from the Avdei Avodah Zarah? Avraham Avinu had a nefesh hasherasa b'chor, and he had so many people who believed in monotheism. He had so many chassidim, so many followers. Why didn't he get a shidduch from among them? So the Ran has in the Drashas Aran, he has a drasha on this also. He has a famous comment. He says that hashkafis are not genetic. Just because the father is a big mammon, it doesn't mean it's going to go over the Yerusha to the Shulam. The father is a big heretic, the father is an apikaris. The hashkafas don't go the Yerusha, but the midas do go genetically. So Avraham Avinu, he respected all of the nefesh hasharasa b'chor and all the many followers that he had who joined the Jewish religion and believed in monotheism and stopped worshipping Avodah Zarah. But they had midas rois, and he wanted Yitzchak's wife should be someone has midas type. So he preferred to get someone from the Avdei Avodah Zarah, but from his family, where he knew they had midas type. That's how the Ran suggests pshat. It's hard to understand. We always refer to Lavan Harami as Lavan was a Ramai. Lavan was a faker. So that's the wonderful family. I don't know. That's what the Ran says. You get the impression as if they were not only were they apikursim, they were the Avodah Zarah. They didn't have midas tavis either. But the Ran gives that explanation. He thought that that's where they have the midas tavis. That's the main thing. the way Eliezer tested the girl to see if that's the shidduch for Yitzchak. He tested her on the midah toivah of chesed to see, he's a grown man and she's a girl. He's going to ask her, can you give me a drink? So we're going to see. She said, she should have said, go get your own drink. Go fly a kite. Why should I give you a drink? And she was kind to him, and she said, more than he asked for, gam lema'alecha ashke. So that was the way he tested her on the midas. That's what you have to look for in a shidduch. The girl has to be a balas chesed. If each one is brought up in a different home, the boy and the girl, then each one is used to a different style, and each one's going to insist on his way or her way, then they're not going to have any shalom bayis. But if the person is a bal chesed, he's interested in making other people happy, comfortable, and so on, then the husband and the wife, if they're both bal chesed, they'll blend in together. They'll make some kind of a compromise. The compromises should be made on midi d'alma. Should make compromises on the religion. If the girl wants compromise on religion, you don't marry her. But the compromises on whether you eat fleshiks and milchiks, or you wear this kind of a suit or that kind of a pair of shoes. So that sometimes you have to make compromises. Remember when I was dating, so one of the rabbeim instructed me, if I take out a girl and the girl gives me a hard time, don't chase after the girl. The Sefer Hasidim has that comment on the Pasuk when Eliezer is telling the family about the Shidduch. So he says, tell me whether you let me take Rivka back to Eretz Yisrael to marry Yitzchak, and if no, be'ef nal yamanu al smol. If no is no, I'll go somewhere else. I won't chase after the girl. It's not a good idea to chase after the girl. If the girl says no, so it's a modern shtick. If the girl says no, you have to argue with her and you have to keep on harassing her until she agrees to marry you. But then later on, she's going to hold that against you. You were the one who chased after me, so you always have to give in to everything that I want. You don't chase after the girl. If the girl says no, it's no. Goodbye and good luck. Be'ef nal yamanu al smol. In Masechah Shavuos, there's a perek that's called Perek Shavuos HaDayonim. That means Shavuos Ma'ariv Mitzvos and Shavuos Deraisa, Shavuos Eidechad, and Shavuos HaShomer. Those are the three Shavuos Deraisa, Gilgul Shavuos. These are Shavuos Deraisa. So the Mishnah says that Shavuos HaDayonim, when the bezin is mashbia, the person, and he swears, I don't owe the money, Nishba Menoitel is only midirabon. Kol ha-nishbaim shabater ha-nishbaim v'loim mishalman. The Shavuos Deraisa is always the tepat to you. Is only with the Rabbanim. That's a Mishnah. So the Mishnah says you have to be Nishba Benikitas Chayfetz. You have to put your hand on a Bible, like in court. Put your hand on a Bible, swear to tell the truth, not about the truth, so help me God. Shua B'Shem Hashem, so help me God. And you put your hand on a Bible. So what they do in the Goyish courts, they make witnesses swear that in Halacha there is no such thing. In fact, Tosfos in Kiddushin, beginning of the second parak, Tosfos says a hachacha from the Gemara that if an aid is only kosher aid is if he swears, because he's an eged b'eduso. And if he swears, then that removes, in certain cases, if he'll swear, that'll take off the psul nageya. So Tosfos says such an aid is posel. An aid is only got to be nem, but if he swears, there's no good. Swearing that I'm telling the truth, that's by the baldin. The baldin said, I don't owe the money, or you owe me money. Sometimes with the Rabbanu, there's a concept of Nishba, but Adam don't have to swear. But in Shulchan Aruch, they quote that the Rif had that practice in Fez when he still lived in Morocco, that he used to be Mashbir the Adam, and he used to have them hold on to a Sefer Torah, Shvur ben Akitas Chayfetz. And that's derived from the Pasuk, Avraham Avinu tells Eliezer, his Eved Simna Yod Chatachas Yirechi, Avraham Avinu didn't have a Sefer Torah, he didn't have a pair of tefillin. The Gemara says, Shua ben Akitas Chayfetz by a Balabos is a Sefer Torah. By Tzuv Medarabban, by Talmud Chacham, he can have him hold on to a pair of tefillin is also good. He doesn't have to hold on like this if he has his hand on a Sefer Torah. It's also called Nikita, like Simna Yot Chatachas Yirech. The only thing Avraham Avinu had was the mitzvah of Milo. So he tells Eliezer, hold on to my leg. Simna Yot Chatachas Yirech. That's the Shua ben Akitas Chayfetz. What? This was a Shua Sadayanim? No. What it means is that a shvur ben akitas chayfetz is more serious than a plain shvur. And the Shavuos HaDayanim should be the maximum, the most serious Shavuot you can get. So the Gemara learned that from the Pasuk, that this is a higher level of the Shavuot. That's why Hasfar and Nosen is that Shavuos HaDayanim should be the most serious Shavuot you can have. The Ran has an opinion in the Dorim. The Ran took over the whole Nedorim. We were saying the other day, there are people who learn the Dorim, they just read the Ran. You don't have to read the Gemara, you don't have to read anything else. The Ran quotes the Mishnah with the Gemara, with the Rambam, with the Rashi, with the Tosfos, he quotes everything. And he elaborates, he gives you explanations. So the Ran on the Dorim quotes from the Tshuvas HaGoyim. There was an opinion, we really don't accept this opinion at all, that if you swore bin a kikdas chayfetz, it's a higher level of a shvur, yes, more serious, and such a shvur ain't la hator, ain't la hafor. It can't be matanet, it can't be mefanet. It's a higher level of a shvur. So we really don't hold like that. But that's based on the psukim in today's so. Why was Avraham Avinu so insistent, rakas b'ni lo yisoshev shama? Eliezer asked, im lo yisoshev isha lo lechus hacharecha, what should I do? Hashem Hashem is bincha, should I bring Yitzchok there to marry the girl? He said, no, not at all. Why such an insistence? The Rashi quotes the Medrash later on the Chumash, that Yitzchok was hukdash as a korban, and a korban is nifsal b'yotzei. If it's kochikochim, the mokum is the azaras. If you take it out, the azar becomes nifsal. Even if you bring it back in, you can't eat it. Or if it's a kochim kalim, so the mokum of the korban is Yerushalayim. Take it out of Yerushalayim, nifsal b'yotzei. Even if you bring it back in again, you can't eat it. So in the days of Avraham Avinu, there was no Azor, there was no Yerushalayim, but there was Eretz Yisrael. So if a korban is brought out of Eretz, so you bring it back in, it becomes pasul. And Yitzchak Avinu was a korban. Aye, but that din only applies a korban after you did the avodah to it, after you did the first avodah, the shechita. You have a korban that's alive and walking around, it doesn't become nifsal b'yotzei. So Yitzchak Avinu was never, the avodah was never done to him. So that's what the Rashi quotes from the Medrash. When Avraham Avinu thought that he's supposed to be makriv Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to be magdish Yitzchak. Then he thought on his own, if he's a korban oila, you have to do the avodah. So he was prepared to do the avodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because ayalach anechaz basrach b'kanim, and he was makriv diyat. What did he have to be makriv the isle? He was makdish Yitzchok and Shai. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, don't shut. No. The hakrava of the isle was considered as if the avodas were done to Yitzchok. Then when the korban oili, he burned the whole thing on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara has an expression, Hafishal Yitzchok tzovr munach agabi ha-Mizbeach. The ashes of Yitzchok around the Mizbeach. What do you mean the ashes of Yitzchok? He was never burned. He was never offered. The answer is the ashes of the isle. All the avodas that Avraham Avinu did to the isle were considered as if they were done to Yitzchok. So Yitzchok Avinu had the status like a korban oila after shechita, after hakrova, after the zrikas hadam. That's why it would be possible he should be nifsal b'yotzei. So he said to Eliezer, make sure you don't take my son back to Chutz Lords. Yitzchok himself apparently never realized this. Eliezer knew that. Avraham Avinu told Eliezer, Yitzchok never heard this. He didn't know that. So it says later in the Chumash, there was a famine during the lifetime of Yitzchak. He was on his way to go down to Mitzrayim, because Yitzchak Avinu does everything, the Masorah, the tradition from Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu dug wells, so Yitzchak digs the same wells and he gives them the same names. Pasuk says he gave the same names that his father gave, everything exactly the same. So just like in the days of Avraham Avinu, when there was a famine, so Avraham Avinu went down to Egypt through Chebel Azza, through the Eretz Plishtim. So Yitzchak Avinu was Bayoch Alavimelch Mel Plishtim Geror. He was on his way to go down to Mitzrayim. Then HaKadosh Baruch appears to him. This is the next week said HaKadosh Baruch appears to him. He says, "I'll tear it Mitzrayim." So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, you are a korban. If you'll go to Chutz Lords, you'll be nifsal b'yotzei. You're not allowed to leave. So apparently, Avraham Avinu told this to Eliezer. Eliezer never told it to Yitzchok. So Yitzchak didn't know. He was prepared to go down to Eretz Mitzrayim. But that seems to be the reason why he wasn't supposed to bring him to the Chutzal Oretz. When Lavan hears, Pasuk says, "Vahi kirosas anezem esatzmidim al yidei achoso." He sees that this fellow Eliezer is very rich. He's giving beautiful jewelry to his sister, to Rivka. So he runs out to meet this guy. He wants to meet Eliezer Eved Avram, and he says, the Rashi quotes a comment from the Medrash, "Anochi pinisi habayis me'avodas ora me'avodas elila." Where does the Medrash get that from? The Medrash Rama. Where do you see that in the words "Anochi pinisi habayis"? So the Bartanura has a commentary on Rashi al Torah. It's called Amar Noka. My father had a set of chumashim and had the Amar Noka in the back of every chumash. Tzemanoki, Amanoki is Tzemanoki. He cleans out the problems in Rashi. He tries to explain the Rashi. He says us a strange interpretation. He says the word Anochi is feminine. So how come he said Anochi? He should have said Ani. Anochi means Pinisi Abayis because of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So that's how the Medrash understood that Anochi Pinisi Abayis Ma'avod Azor. Because the word Anochi should have been Ani. They said, Anochi, out of respect for Anochi, Penisa Abayis from Avodah Zarah. Remember, when I was in high school, I learned here in the yeshiva. I remember we had teachers who taught us Tanakh. I asked the teacher, is this so? The word Anochi is feminine. He said, he never heard of that. He doesn't think it's correct. I don't know, but that's what the Bartanura writes. He says, the Medrash is assuming that Anochi is feminine. Then Eliezer presents the whole deal to the rest of the family. So they say, "Vayamru, Vayan Lavan Abasol Yomer, Hashem Yotza Hadover." It's a zivig min Hashemayim. That's the Gemara, the first daf in Soito, that Abayi Mem Kodim Mitzirus Havlad. Mitzirus Havlad is after Mem Yom. So Abayi Mem Kodim Mitzirus Havlad means the beginning, the first moment of the pregnancy. A bas kol determines bas plani plani. The zivugim are determined men hashamayim. But then the Gemara says it's not always the case. So the Gemara says zivig rishon is men hashamayim. Zivig sheni is lefi myself. So there's a Rambam. The Rambam wrote a hakdama to his commentary on Pirkei Avos, and it's known as the Shmaya Prokim because there are 8 chapters. They didn't have a better name for it, so they called it the Shmaya Prokim, the Rambam. Those of us that don't know Arabic, so we read the Hebrew translation. So in the Shmaya Prokim, the Rambam writes, "Vipielion laseitze haroas v'hatoiv." That's it, passing an echo. "Men Hashemayim Hakadosh Baruch Hu is not geizer on a person that is going to be a tzaddik or a rasha." The Gemara says in Maseches Nida, the Malach Hamamuna al Hahirayon, the Malach in charge of babies being born, determines whether the baby will be Chacham Atipesh, Osher Aoni, Gibra Cholosh, Tzadik V'Rosha Loikomer. That's Bechir Chavshis. That's Bechir Chavshis. Hakol B'Dei Shemayim Chutz Mi'Yerushamayim. Hakol B'Dei Shemayim means what color eyes you have, what color hair, whether you're strong or weak, fat, skinny, tall, short, that's B'Dei Shemayim. Chutz Mi'Yerushamayim, the Rambam writes in the Tshuva, all human activities. There's Bechir Chavshis on all human activities. So the Rambam writes that zivugim are not men hashamayim, because if I marry a tzaddikus, she'll see to it to keep me in line. So men hashamayim, they sing to it that I should be observant. If I marry a marshas, she'll see to it that I should violate all the mitzvahs. So that's the pasuk with piel yelaseitzar ros atar kodesh bochu gives us bechiru chavshes. If the zivugim are men hashamayim, so whether you're going to be a tzaddik or rasha has a lot to do with whom you marry. So how can it be? So the Rambam says zivugim are not men hashamayim. So they have printed in all the big gemaras. The end of Sanhedrin, they usually have Adius and they have Pirkei Avos. They have the Hakdamas Rambam, the Perek, the Shmoneh Prokim, Hakdamas Rambam to the commentary on Pirkei Avos. from the bottom of the page, I have on a footnote from Rabbi Yankev Emden, the Rambam is wrong, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says that this is Ru Gemara Min Hashema. How can the Rambam say it's not so? So the some point out that the Meiri on the first daf in Soita explains the Gemara. The Gemara says the Zivik Rishon is Min Hashemaim, and the Zivik Sheni is Lefi Maisav. So he says Zivik Rishon, Zivik Sheni does mean my first wife, my second wife. Zivik Rishon means if they get married when they're very young. The boy is just barely 13, is just barely bar mitzvah, and the girl is 12 years old. They're very young. So what do I mean, Lefi Maisav? They don't know yet. They're just out of their diapers. They don't know yet what they're going to do for the rest of their life. So that's Min Hashemayim. But if a person gets married at the age of 23, 24, everybody's a big sheni. Everybody's a big sheni. In the days of the Gemara, there was such a thing as a zivik rishon. A person gets married at the age of 30. And today, everybody's zivik sheni. So the Rambam is talking about his generation. Rambam got married, I think, in his 30s or something. Rambam is older than we get married. So that's why the Rambam says that all the zivugim, the Rambam doesn't explain it, but he probably thinks like that Meiri, that all the shidduchim that we have today, everything is a zivik sheni. But that's what he says, Me Hashem Yotza Hadorah, that the zivugim amel shema, because she was very young. According to the Midrashim, Rivka was only 3 years old. And then when she left, they gave her a bracha, achaseinu atayili alfei ruvava, you should have a lot of children, you should have a big family. Yet in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says that when the chosin goes to badek the kala, the badekin, those that have that minig, yeah, because they don't have the minig badek, but those that go to the badekin, so when the rabbonim go, the rabbonim should give a bracha to the kala, she should have a lot of babies. Achaseinu, if she's a young girl. If she's 95 years old to get married for the second time, they don't give her a blessing, she'd have a lot of babies. But if she's a young girl, then usually if a young couple gets married, there was an old minig, it could be it dates back to the Talmud Yerushalmi, according to some, that you get married, tachas kippas harakia, outside, under the sky, to invoke the blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, vayotze os hachutza, so if you get married to a young girl and you hope to have a big family, so the minig is you get married outside. If a couple is getting married for the second time, the woman is 75 years old, they're not going to have any more babies, so you don't get married outside. So then the minig would be that you get married, then you had the minig to get married in the shul. But the first time you get married to a young girl, you expect to have, you hope to have babies. So you get married outside Tachas Kippos HaRakia. We were talking the other day about that, the minig to get married Tachas Kippos HaRakia. So this Dechemet quotes Achrayna Mosei, you should observe the minig, but you shouldn't make a chilul Hashem. What do you mean you shouldn't make a chilul Hashem? So I remember once, I was at a wedding when Rabbi Perlow's daughter got married. So she got married in Williamsburg, I think. Either Williamsburg or Borough Punk.
Borough Punk.
And it was raining that day, and the chuppah was purple, and the kala was wearing a white gown, and the rain got absorbed in the purple cloth, and it was dripping purple dye on the kala's gown. And the goyim were hanging out the windows, and they were laughing at the crazy Jews. They got married outside, it's raining! And the purple dye is staining her gown. So that's probably what they mean, that you should get married outside, but not to make Echel Hashem. If it's raining, it's snowing outside. Sometimes it's freezing outside. Sometimes it's freezing. I remember when Mr. Lindbergh's daughter got married, it was freezing outside, and they got married outside. I just had to go for half a minute to say a bracha or something. It's freezing outside. And that chas and kala lasted for 20 minutes under the chuppah. Within reason. You should get married outside within reason. The word Na'ara appears quite a few times. Every time it's spelled Nun Ayin Resh, Na'ara. So that's a shaila we have. There's a posik in Chumash Dvarim that a tzuadaka is not permitted to get married to a Jewish girl. He can marry a Gioris, but he can't marry a Jewish girl. So there's a question, how do you spell tzuadaka? Dalet Chof Aleph or Dalet Chof Hei? they quote from the Vilna Gaon that the Aleph is a mistake. He thinks that it should be Hey. Usually, Minig Ashkenazi have an Aleph, and Minig Sfarad is that you have a Hey. The Sfaradim have a Hey. And they quote from the Vilna Gaon that the Aleph is in Gantz and a misreading in the Masorah. Masorah tells you that whether it's an Aleph or a Hey, so they misread it. So the question is, we Paskin like the Rama say, if it's missing one letter, is puzzle, and the Rama writes, you can only lay in Kriyas HaTorah Brachas if it's a kosher Sefer Torah. So all the Sefer Torah are Sufik kosher, Sufik puzzle. You don't know what he's supposed to spell Psuah Daka with an Aleph or a Hey. So every Sefer Torah is a Sufik puzzle. How can you ever say a Bracha on Kriyas HaTorah? So this is a problem that the Achreinim have. So the Minchas Chinuch gives a suggestion. He says, maybe if you spell a word wrong, you spell Psuah Daka with a Kuf instead of a Chaf. That's a misspelling. In Yiddish, there's an expression, you spell the name Noach with seven mistakes. You put a final nun instead of a nun, then you put Noach, the final nun, a Vav, Yud, Noi, Ach, Aleph, and a Chaf instead of a Chaf, so fizz, you make a small Chaf. It's supposed to be a Ches, not supposed to be a Chaf at all. And if it is a Chaf at the end of the word, so it should have been a Chaf, so fizz. So that's a whole bunch of mistakes. That Yiddish expression, you can spell Noach with seven mistakes, Noach, Mizin, guys. So the Minchas Chinuch says, if a word is misspelled based on the dictionary spelling, that Sefer Torah Shachas HaReisachas is a puzzle. But the word Daka, they're both legitimate spellings. Daka with a Hey is Hebrew, Daka with an Aleph is probably Aramaic. They're both correct spelling. The only question is, according to the Masorah, what's supposed to be the correct spelling? So the Minchas Chinuch has a suggestion. Maybe the Sefer Torah would not be puzzled by the other here. It's not called Chas HaReisachas. The two correct ways to spell the word, just it doesn't correspond to the Masorah. So he says, that Sefer Torah would be kosher, he thinks. You should correct it before next Shabbos, you should correct it, but you can learn in that. But he says, what if you have a Kriya Ksiv? The Ksiv is one way, the Kriya is a different way. Let's say, Kiyuta Mayim Al Zera. So the word Yutan should have been spelled Yud Vav Tav Nun. It's spelled Yud Tav Nun. So the Gemara has a drasha, Yutan Duim Ediyitim. Whenever there's a conflict between the Kri and the Ksiv, so there's a Machlekes Hatanoim, we establish the din Yeshem La Mikro, Yeshem La Masoros. We establish the din based on the Kri or based on the Ksiv. So as a Tosis, as a Klal, whenever you can blend in the Kri and the Ksiv together to figure out a din of both together, you do that. So that's over here. Yutan Duim Ediyitim. Yutan, do me the Yitin, the Nichalai, they established the whole din. So the Minchas Chinuch says, if you're going to have the Sefer Torah spelled Yud Vav Tav Nun, the Sefer Torah will be puzzled, because it's yes, oisach, an extra ois, chaser oisach, a sayita oisach, is also no good. And here, up within, there's a Kriya Ksiv. The Kriya Ksiv has to be written according to the Ksiv. That's supposed to be written according to the Kri. So if you're going to write Yutan, Yud Vav Tav Nun, spelling is correct according to the dictionary. That's a better spelling. Yud Vav Tav Nun is better than Yud Tav Nun. Sounds like Eitan. But since it was intended to be a Kriya Ksiv, in order to darshan, they're both together, so the Sefer Torah will be possible. That's what the Minchas Chinuch suggests. So the Minchas Chinuch died around 100 years ago. So those who came after the Minchas Chinuch were wondering, if you accept his idea, what about the word Na'ara? It appears so many times in Chumash. And the Gemara gives an explanation why it's sometimes spelled Nun Ayin Resh, sometimes Nun Ayin Resh. The Gemara in Ksubis has a din based on sometimes a Ketana is included, sometimes a Ketana is not included, based on whether it has a Hey at the end or not. So that's what they raise the question. Is it that there are two correct ways to spell the word Na'ara, Nun Ayin Resh and Nun Ayin Resh? Or no, maybe it has the status of a Kriya Ksiv, because the Gemara darshins a halacha on the fact that it's sometimes chosa, sometimes mali with the A at the end. So that's what they had a suffix. If Na'ara will be spelled correctly, Nun Ayin Resh A, but it's not according to the Ksiv. That's according to the Ksiv. Is that called a Kriya Ksiv? Or maybe that's not a Kriya Ksiv. Maybe that would be kosher. That's if you assume, like the Minchas Chinuch, what would the din be regarding the spelling of Na'ara? Rabbi Samson Reshul Hirsch has a comment on the Pasuk, the last Pasuk in Chamishi, That's pasuk in chapter Chav Dalet. Vayivyehu Yitzchok ha'oyer l'sor ima v'ikach l'shrivka v'atilo l'isha v'yehu aveha v'yinochim Yitzchok acharei imoy. We live in a generation that the people date forever and then they fall in love with each other and then they get married. And the Chumash doesn't say like that. It says Yitzchok decided it's a good shidduch and they got married. Can you envision this woman to be the mother of your children? Can you envision having shalom bayis that you think you'll grow in Torah and Yerushalayim with this woman? She's not good looking initially. I don't want to live with her. She's decent looking. You don't have to marry a movie star. But if she's pleasant looking, decent looking, and she seems to have Yerushalayim and Chesed and all the midas Torah, so you marry her. Then after you marry her, then your love will develop. Afterwards, not that you fall in love with the emotions first, and then you marry the girl. Then you're probably going to sin. That's not a good idea. The Chumash tells us that when Avraham Avinu passed away, Vayikbar Osa Yitzchak v'Yishmol Banov, so Rashi quotes the famous comment from the Medrash that Yishmol Osa Tshuva, the haraya that he let Yitzchak, he respected Yitzchak, even though he was older. He was 13 years older than Yitzchak, but he let Yitzchak go first in the funeral procession. So that shows that Yishmol did Tshuva. So they tell a famous story about Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz when he was a young boy. So he was very bright. He was a big genius. So they wanted to read him Shiduchim. So they suggested a Shidduch from a different city. So they made up that both fathers will meet midpoint. I think that's how the story goes. So they made up they're going to meet in a shul in a certain city that was half the distance between each one of them. So they had the girl's father came, without the girl, of course. The girl's father came, but some other people. And then the Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz came with his father, some other people. So then they said, if he really so bright, which one is the future father-in-law? Which one is the prospective father-in-law? So he looked at them and said, that one. So he said, how do you know? He said, I dislike him already.
Yeah.
Yiddish folklore. I dislike him already. So they said, why do you have the little kid knows how to talk and learning? So the little kid said, so Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz said, give me any sefer and I'll say a shtickle Torah. Open up to any page. So it was in a shul that they met. So they took a siddur, they opened up to the page, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. So he started saying Torah. So he said, Rabbi Shmuel Oimer means that he disagrees with the previous opinion. They should say, I'm a Rabbi Shmuel. Why do you say Rabbi Shmuel Oimer? So he said, The answer is, we have a Yud Gimel Midah Shatavad Rashi Spam. You have a Klal Prat. Ein Bechlal Mashem Prat. You have Prat to Klal. The Klal wins. So Makshim Ha'olam. The Gemara asked this in the first parak of Pesachim. Makshim Ha'olam. If you have a Klal, Ein Muktam Umeucha Batayra. So maybe the Klal Prat is really a Prat to Klal. Maybe the Prat to Klal is really a Klal Prat. So the answer is given by the Gemara. The Gemara raises this question in the first parak in Pesachim, that within one pasuk, within one parsha, you don't say emuktam amiyucha. If you have two different stories, one after the other, from one parsha to the other, from one paragraph to the other, you can say emuktam amiyucha. But within one parsha, you don't say emuktam amiyucha. So he said, you see that from the pasuk. Yitzchak v'shmo banav. It shows that Yishmol did tshuva, he was mechabed Yitzchak to go first. How do you assume that he was mechabed Yitzchak? Maybe a mukta meyucha bater. The answer is no. In the same pasuk, you don't say mukta meyucha bater. So there's another question here. How do you give a child the name Yishmol? The Gemara says you're not allowed to give shem Yishmol Mirka. If you're not allowed to name a baby after a rasha, you would give a child the name Adolf. You don't give the name of a rasha. Now you don't give a name like that. So how did they give Rabbi Shmuel? How did they give? The answer is Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. The fact that he had a name, Yishmael, teaches us that there were Yud Gimel Midas, and among them are Klal Prat Prat Klal. The fact that they gave a child the name Yishmael shows that the Oisa Parsha, you don't say Mukta Mukhabatar. I don't know if he married that girl, but that's how the story goes. Mm-hmm. remember Avraham Soloveitchik, when he was old, had a stroke, and he wasn't well for a while. So he tried different things, and acupuncture helped him. So he once spoke, he says he owes a debt of gratitude to the people who discovered acupuncture. So he went to the library to figure out who is the one. So he thinks it's Avraham Avinu. Because he looked in the books, it comes from the Far East, acupuncture, and they tell you the date when they developed it, and that's about the time that the pasuk says that Avraham Avinu levnei pelak shem b'shal Avraham nasan Avraham matanos vayishalchei me'al Yitzchak b'no b'yadene keigma al eretz Canaan. He sent him to the Far East. So the Medrash says on the pasuk, what matanos did he give them? So one of the versions in the Medrash, and Nosan Lahem Matanos, he taught them in Yonim of Refuah. So he thought, maybe it's Avraham Avinu was the one who taught the secret of acupuncture. He owes a debt of gratitude to Avraham Avinu. The Baron Salvation is always a very entertaining speaker. When he gave Shiur, when he gave the Rashas, he used to, every Thursday, he used to say Parsha Shiur. So his class had in the other building across, his class had whatever, 30 students had a normal class. On Thursday, there were 150 students squeezed into the little room, and then the hallway. And then they had a loudspeaker, the whole hallway on the third floor. Everybody was listening to Rabban Soloveitchik's drush on the parsha. They should have come to the shiurim also, but they only came to the parsha. In this week's Haftorah, there's a pasuk about Bathsheba, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the second cleric, says that there are 13 words in the pasuk. The Gemara has a whole comment on the number 13. You look at the pasuk, there are 14 words in the pasuk. Why did the Gemara say there are 13? So, and Ebenezer in Hilchas Gittin, they tell you how to spell names. So they have a discussion. A girl's name is Bathsheba. How do you spell Bathsheba? Is it two words, Bathsheba, or is it one word written together? Elisheba is one word. But what about Bathsheba? So this pasuk with the 13 words, if you count, if you say Bathsheba has no space in between, if it's one word, then it's 13 words. Here, pasuk tov. Atol Bathsheba l'melech ha'chadra ha'melech zokim yod b'avish ha'gosham ish m'sher ases ha'melech. So the Gemara points out that pasuk has 14 words. So that's what in Hilchas Gittin, the Pischei Tshuva and Ebenezer points out, he quotes from the earlier G'daylum, that apparently the word Bathsheba counts as one word. It doesn't necessarily mean, so they assume that you shouldn't have a space in between. Same Shalom Ben Zion. If you have a name Ben Zion, you spell a base nun sofis and an empty space, and you write Zion, or you write base nun tzadik yod vav nun, and a small nun, not a nun sofis. So some say Ben Zion is supposed to be one word. Usually they don't write it one word. So here it could be that Bathsheba really have to have a space in between. That's where we usually do. But it's only counted as one word, because that's the name, Bathsheba. Bathsheba. Let's say a person's name is Yankov Yisrael. Eliezer Yehuda. A person has two names. So it says in Ebenezer that if you're writing a get, you should write the both names on one line. Shouldn't write Eliezer at the end of the first one, Yehuda on the second line, because there's a Gemara in Chulin, in Perek Elu Trefus. The Gemara says that when you write Kedor La'Omer, it has in Shulchan Aruch, if the husband's name is Kedor La'Omer, and you write again, the husband's name is Kedor La'Omer. So you should write Kedor La'Omer on one line. You shouldn't write Kedor on one side of La'Omer on the second line. So that's the Gemara Chulin. When you write a Sefer Torah, you should write Kedor La'Omer on one line. So there are two traditions. When you write Kedor La'Omer in Bereshis, do you have an empty space in between? Are they two words, Kedor La'Omer? We always write it together as one word. So if you write it as one word, then you understand why you can't write it on two lines. But if the guy's name is Yankov Yisrael, his name is Eliezer Yehuda, so they're two different names. So why shouldn't you write it on two lines? So the Ramo is machmer for them. That the Mo is machmer because there are some who have the practice to write Kedor La'Omer with a space in between two different words. Nonetheless, the Gemara has to be on one line. So even if the guy's name is Eliezer Yehuda, you should put them on both. You should put both the names lechatchila on one line. It says b'di'evit. If you wrote it on two lines, it would be kosher b'di'evit. So I remember there was a case. I had a boy in my shiur for a few years, and when he got married, I found out that we were related. Because when I went to the wedding, there were people there who were distant relatives of mine. They were distant relatives of his. I found that after many years, now he's a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael. So one of the distant relatives told me this story, that when she was a young girl, she was only 17, and she got married, and it was a big mistake, and the day after she got married, she realized that she has to get divorced. So she, a distant relative of mine, so her father was a rabbi. Father called up my father, they have to get divorced. Mamish, soon after, right after, within a few days. So they arranged to have to get to my parents' home. And my mother said she'll sit with the girl in the kitchen, she'll talk to her, hold her hand, because it's very, shakes people up. A girl just got married, has to get divorced so young. So her husband had two names, and the sofer, now they have sofer, they would never make such a mistake. The sofer made a mistake, and he wrote, the husband had two names, Eliezer Yehuda, whatever it was, he wrote one name on the first line and second name on the second line. So after you finish writing the get, then the Masada get took set to make sure there are no mistakes. So he sees that he wrote it on two lines. So Lachatchil is no good, but it is good. So here, it was late in the afternoon, and if they would have to rewrite the whole get, they'd have to come back the next day and start all over again, because it wasn't enough time. The meaning is that you do a get by yom, you don't do a get by laila. So the shayla was, we have a klal, shasatchak kedi. What usually is only good b'di'evitz. How much of a shasatchak is this? That the girl shouldn't have to go to the girl as was falling to pieces. She's getting divorced 2 days after she got married. She's only 17. And if you have to come back tomorrow, you have to go through the whole story from the beginning all over again. So at that time, you could call her Moshe Feinstein on the phone. So my father called her Moshe. Moshe said, that's enough of a shasatchak. You can be mekel on that.
What did you say?
That's enough of a shas hatchak, that the girl, this is only a chumrah, to write that Eliezer Yehuda to two different names, to be makbid, that it should be on one line. It's not such a serious din. It's a chumrah lechatchila. That's enough of a shas hatchak to be mekel. Shas hatchak kedi abedomir. Moshe Feinstein had hairoas and every sif in Shulchan Aruch, he had hairoas. I don't know, someone just gave me yesterday the sefer, I have it on my mokum, where I'm learning. The Mashgiach in MTJ put out a sefer, a psokim that he heard from Moshe. Very, very little, very skinty. Moshe had hairoas on every sif in Shulchan Aruch. Shailas came up all the time. I don't know why the sefer is so tiny. Okay, everyone should have a good Moshabbos.
You too.
Say earlier in the year that Moshe held a king to get the Lailas he knew that if your mind was, the answer is based on the other side.
More structural support for your
I know.